The title I have at the top of my notes anyway, here this morning, is Why Does God Think About Us? Why does God think about us? And when Charles was speaking about the thoughts of God towards us, it quickened in me very much. As I have been meditating primarily I started with Psalm 8 and thinking about the Lord and exactly that question, why does he think about us? Now, let me just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, I do just pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
To quicken your word here and to speak. Lord, my words are nothing without your words. Lord, so we do pray for the ministry of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And there are primarily three questions in Scripture, which are the largest questions that I think you can find for mankind. One of them is in Psalm 8, what is man? One of them is in John 18, what is truth? And the other one is the Lord Jesus, where he says, who do you say that I am? The three very, and three questions we have to have settled in our hearts, and certainly as believers. So anyway, I want to look at that, but first of all, let me just read through Psalm 8. And this is a psalm of David, and in the same vein as Psalm 139, was it? It's very much a praise and a worshipful psalm to the Lord. And as I can imagine David out there, you know, looking at the heavens, looking at the moon and the stars, and he is full of glory and praise to the Lord. And he says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the voice of the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that thou considerest him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and they that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now, there's two different ways of framing the question. What is man? Is kind of one question. T. Austin Sparks deals with that marvelously. But the question is that I was looking at here is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? In secular terms, why do you think about us? You know, consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now, let me ask you a simple question. If you had the capacity to go out, create planets, universes, and all the rest of it, cast it up into space, what would your attention be towards us, the rest of us living in the room? Probably the order of magnitude is such that here is God, and this is his creation. And yet he's thinking about us. Why? Why would he think about us? You know, the moon and stars thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, as I see David here looking at the heavens and considering this, and then, but he knows the presence of the Lord, the visitation of the Lord. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And then, in the order of things, he paints a picture. And we have here, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. Well, I think we can testify to that. We are here in body. You know, we're not a disembodied spirit or whatever. You know, we have life on earth has its limitations, and we are confined, aren't we, to living in one place at one time, doing, even if we're multitasking, we're really not doing that very much all at once, are we? And so there's the limitation of us as people. You have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, I wonder how many of us consider ourselves to be glorious. You know, that's kind of a little bit of a leap for most of us. We live in very much in the humdrum, don't we? But he has crowned us with glory and honor in his thoughts towards us. He sees us with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Sorry, I remember this in one version, I'm reading out of another, and it kind of messes the wording up a little bit. You know, when we go back to Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, we read, don't we, in Genesis 1, where we are given as men a commission, and we have Adam and Eve, where he says, the God said, let us make in our image, according to our likeness, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So at the beginning, man was given dominion over the works of the Lord, over the earth and over the works of the Lord. And so we have man who is made lower than the angels. He is given dominion over the earth. He is crowned with glory and honor. So let us visit the whole thoughts of man. We have the position of man in the created order, don't we? Let us look, though, My attention was called particularly to this. You have made him a little lower than the angels. Why do we need to know that? What is the significance of that? As we are down here, what bearing does that have on us? I mean, we don't typically spend a lot of time thinking about angels and things, though maybe there is more, maybe the Lord has more here than we see initially. Now, what do we know about the angelic world? You know, angels are presented most always in excellence, though there are, maybe in this world, there are two separate categories. There are those who are ministering to us, and then there is this another category, isn't there, which is that of the fallen angels. And so we have two realms here. And of the fallen angels, they are presented as being in eternal chains, waiting for the day of the Lord for judgment. The fact that the chains are eternal tells us that the outcome is not going to be good for them. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. So I want to then go from there. Of course, I want to visit Hebrews and the first chapter of Hebrews. And where we find the same passage of Scripture quoted. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have set him over the works of thy hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And then there's a note added, something that we don't get from reading Psalm 8, where it says, "For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But we do not yet see all things put under him." And of course, when we get to Hebrews, this is Hebrews 2, sorry, 2, verse 6. When we get to Hebrews, of course, this is now not just a psalm of David, but it changes in as far as it shines a messianic light on the psalm, Psalm 8, doesn't it? Because now the man that we are talking about is the Lord Jesus himself, isn't it, in the psalm. The reason that is important here is because when we come to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, there has really been a mystery in many ways to me, because what it is doing, it is looking at the position of our Lord Jesus. He is better than the angels. Well, yes. But how does that have bearing? What is being said here? What is the bearing of that? For to which of the angels has he ever said, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And so we have our Lord Jesus. And there's something about this which is very important, and it is emphasized, and it is a comparison, but it is this Hebrews is proclaiming the absolute supremacy of our Lord Jesus. And one of the things about this is the nature of the victory of our Lord Jesus. I have always struggled with the thought of the man and the sin of man, this all being theater for us. And, you know, there's what the atoning work had an effect. We were saved by the finished work of our Lord Jesus. But as I read the scripture, let me visit here something. I want to look at Galatians here, Galatians 3 and 19, where it says, "Wherefore they serve the law. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hands of the mediator." So here, one of the functions of the angels, it would appear, from what we have been told in Galatians, is they are ordained. To institute the law. You know, I was listening to a little broadcast just recently on fake news, and the argument with, you know, people are very, very concerned about fake news. And the deal with the fake news is, well, people are believing the wrong thing, and it was cast in a political light very much, where they were saying, well, you know, this is, there's fake news everywhere. We've got a generation who just basically believe everything that's put in front of them. It's going to make a difference in the world in which we live because they're going to believe the wrong thing. To us, this would be true. To the secular world, I would say, what difference does it make if it's 50% on one side, according to their argument, and 50% on the other? Everybody's misled. However, there is importance to what they then said was, we are missing the fact. This is a big deal with Facebook and these. We are missing the lack of fact. There's fact and there's opinion, you know, and then there's misinformation. At the end of the day, the fact of the matter is, fact matters. Why does it matter? If we're in a totally relative world, why should the world care what's going on? It cares because beyond our understanding, law is not established merely on earth, and I'm talking about moral law. It is established in the heavens, and if we are to believe our little piece in Galatians, it matters. It is upheld in heaven by the angels. So we have the law upheld. It's not just whatever we want to be. You know, the truth of it is that there is moral law. It stands there. So, the fact that we have moral law and that we have angelic beings holding up that law, and then there's this other category of angels who are in chains, waiting. So what would be their take on it? If I were to look in Hebrews here, we have the Lord Jesus who has given supremacy over the angels. That is what the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews is stressing. So, if we look at the Lord Jesus in his human form, we see him on earth in Philippians. It tells us he was made a little lower than the angels, but he is now crowned with glory for the suffering of death. So we have our Lord Jesus, and he becomes a man. From being Lord of all, from being presented very much, he is the Lord Jesus, the Creator. It says, by him and through him everything, through him also he made the world. So our Lord Jesus starts and he is making the worlds. He is part of that in Genesis, he is the Creator. Then he becomes man, and he lays aside being equal with God, considers it not something to be grasped, but lays aside and becomes a man. And he then is lower than the angels. For the suffering of death. And then we see him passing through. Therefore, he is highly exalted and given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. What do you suppose happened when that proclamation was made to those angels in chains? Every knee, they bowed and worshipped. Because he is the Supreme One. He is head over all. And he has a name which is above every name. Then we move. Of course, if the angels have the responsibility for upholding the law, our Lord Jesus moves us beyond the law and into the grace, doesn't he? We then are moved to a point of being in Christ. Now, what is the significance of us as believers being in Christ? It moves us as man from being a little lower than the angels to being in Christ, who is supreme over them. And we rule and we reign. That is the position of us as believers in Christ. It makes sense of the scripture which says, do you not know you shall judge angels? That's a severe problem if they are your boss, if they are over you. But it is not a problem if we are in Christ. We stand, our standing is in Him. And then also, let me look in Ephesians, where it says, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, there isn't any, as far as I can see, and I think the scripture makes it clear, there is no atoning work done for the fallen angels. They are where they are. God in His wisdom set man, and He reached under them and saved us from under their rank and has placed us in Christ over the angels. And He has done that in order to show in the heavenlies the eternal purpose of God. That is His work. What is the purpose of man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? He thinks about us in infinite detail, so much that He reached below a whole rank and saved man from underneath, took us. What of those angels, even the fallen ones, can accuse the church, the believers, those of us, those who belong to Him? What accusation could they bring? Because He is Lord of all. He has reached beyond them, down to us in our pitiful state, and has lifted up. And we are in Christ Jesus. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for that work that You have done, which has set us free from eternal darkness and delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of Your love. We thank You that we can reign and rule with the Lord Jesus far above all, and that we have the freedom and the liberty to love You and belong to You. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all that You have done. We are grateful for the freedom in spirit that You have given us. We are grateful that we can be Your people, that we can be united in one spirit and enjoy union with You. Amen. He thought he'd won. What then happened was the Holy Spirit was given to the believers, and there was a contagion of Jesus over the whole earth. And ever since, in the lives of the believers, the Holy Spirit has been set free. And there's nothing he can do about it.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.